brought to you by GMSDC Radio and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Let's Talk Small Business with your host, Stacy Key.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of Let's Talk Small Business. Glad you're joining us today. This is a show that brings you all the relevant information about Georgia small businesses. This is information you can't get anyplace else. We bring you those nuggets of wisdom, the knowledge, opportunities. We bring it all to here on Let's Talk Small Business. This month, we've got a whole focus on energy, and our sponsor for the month is Georgia Power, a Southern company. And we're continuing with our discussion on energy, and today we've got an outstanding guest that's going to bring a lot of information to us. We've got David Simpkins of Southern Petroleum Resources, LLC, and we're going to be talking to him about what he does, how he does it, and how he's impacting this energy space. So first, before we do that, we're going to first of all hear from one of our sponsors, Georgia Power, a Southern company.
It takes a lot of energy to keep our state running. And to keep Georgia a great place to live, that energy has to be affordable. That's why Georgia Power uses many different ways to generate the power our customers need. By using nuclear, coal, hydro, natural gas, and solar, we can choose the most cost-efficient energy source available, which keeps rates as low as possible and saves money for our customers. Learn more about our commitment to reliable, low-cost energy at georgiapower.com.
Great. We're back again. We're with David Simpkins, and David's going to be talking to us about Southern Petroleum LLC. And so, David, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, David, you're one of our certified MBEs that we always love to have on the show and talk about what you do. And as mentioned, we're focusing on energy efficiency this month. And so, first of all, tell us a little bit about you and the company and your journey here. How did you get here with Southern Petroleum?
Well, originally, first of all, I'm originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
We're not going to hold that against you. You're
okay.
Not from Georgia.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I've probably paid more taxes here in Georgia than in Pennsylvania. So came down here for college. I'm a graduate of Morehouse College.
Yay.
Right here in Atlanta. I was a banking finance major. Once I finished Morehouse, I moved back up to Philadelphia, and I took a position with Lehman Brothers up in New York. I was on their currency and bond desk, and I held similar positions with AYM Financial in New York and Philadelphia. Moved back to Atlanta with a company called Thomas Securities, where I was placing fixed income securities for the city of Atlanta, city of Houston, and city of New Orleans. And then suddenly the banking industry collapsed. So
I remember that time.
Yeah.
Was that 2008 or so?
About 2008.
We just had that crash sound.
Exactly. So my former employer, actually a couple of them are no longer in existence, but luckily, me and a number of other guys were able to branch out and kind of get into different industries and still thrive.
I like it. Still standing after all of that.
Yeah.
And so what talked about Southern Petroleum Resources. Talk to me about that. How did you transition from that banking industry into the fuel business?
Well, I actually got with a group that was looking. They had product, but they didn't have any customers. And some of my customers today were some of my customers when I was in investment banking. So I got in touch with them, found out what their fuel needs were, got into business, helped start a company that's no longer in existence,
mm-hmm.
started my company, Southern Petroleum Resources, back in December of 2012. And what we do is we are a licensed bulk fuel wholesaler.
Okay.
We provide bulk diesel fuel, gasoline, all grades of gasoline, actually all grades of diesel, biodiesel, aviation fuel, and we are now in the construction space to where we have a product which is a biodegradable release agent that is used for asphalt and concrete in the construction industry.
That sounds, there's a lot of construction going on here in Georgia.
Great deal.
We might have to get you plugged into that industry. So take us to what you do and tie it to this energy efficiency. Is there a tie there to that whole efficiency?
Well, obviously whenever you're dealing with fuel, that's a certain sector of energy in regards to refined product that not only my commercial customers use, but you use on a daily basis in
your
car.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Exactly. So,
and we like the pricing low, which is right now. We like it now.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it for now. I always tell my friends whenever the prices of gas fall, they always call me. Oh, I said, well, enjoy it. because just like anything else,
it goes up, it goes down. So see, but now that we know you, you can kind of give us inside information to kind of how that swing, so we can kind of prepare for that. And in fact, could we pull up to your facility and get gas?
No, you cannot.
I'm just checking. Just checking. I didn't think so, but I just thought that might be an opportunity there. Say, no, you're not that kind of gasoline.
Well, I've gotten that question about a million times.
I know you do. Yeah. I know you get it all the time. Can we pull up and just get some gasoline at your fat place? No, we can't do that. So talk about, you know, being in the bulk fuel business, there's not a lot of minority businesses in that space.
There's not any at all. Well, no, I'm sorry, I take that back. I have actually my mentor, Steve Hightower.
Mr. Hightower, we got to do it. I saw him. I see him all the time.
I was just with him up in Detroit. We were at an automotive summit. But what I was trying to say was that there aren't many of us in this space. Well, there's very few in our space that actually does what Steve and I do.
Okay.
So, you know, I've always looked at Steve as a mentor. He's built a great business.
He's a great mentor. In fact, he's one of our titans here in Georgia. So he is a excellent mentor.
Absolutely.
Yes. And so there's not many minorities in this space. Mm-hmm. And so what that brings some challenges, I suspect, and some opportunities as well.
Yeah, it brings both.
So take some time and talk about that, because others may be listening and say, you know what, that's a fascinating industry. I've always wanted to be in energy and that fuel space, and they might be thinking about it. So talk a little bit about navigating the bulk fuel space.
Well, just in regards to, you know, one of the challenges is always trying to get product and trying to get cheap product, and then offering that same cheap product to your customers while trying to make a profit all at the same time.
It's got to be volatile in a way.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Okay, so that's got some unique challenges.
And it's volatile for our suppliers, and a lot of time they have to pass that volatility on to us when it comes to being creditworthy, to getting supply from our customers. Obviously, and that credit comes down to if you're paying your current suppliers on a regular basis, which I think that we do pretty well with. But in regards to the opportunities, I mean, you know, your opportunities are always going to come with the hard work that you put in. I love being a member of GMSDC, but I can also say that as of right now, most of our business has come from us just being a very good supplier, not from being a minority supplier. I think that some folks have to go out there and be good at what they do if they really want to take advantage of having a certification as a minority supplier. You have to be good at what you do first.
Oh, yes. Certification is only a ticket to the party.
Absolutely.
When you show up, you got to be dressed appropriately. You got to know your stuff, and you got to deliver every single time, regardless.
Right. And the interesting thing about it is that we actually bid on Delta's business, and we lost, which was fine. But, you know, we weren't that far off. And not only did we lose, but a bunch of other suppliers lost. And we'll try at it again.
Yes,
next
exactly
time.
Right. You lose this time, you learn something, and next time you go at it again. So let's talk about renewable energy. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about that, because, again, this energy space is very hot. And Georgia is becoming one of the focus areas around this whole energy sector.
Sure.
And so talk about renewable energy, bioenergy, biofuel. Talk about all of that.
Well, you're seeing a big influx of major companies like UPS and FedEx now using natural gas in a number of their vehicles. Natural gas is becoming a big player in the market now. It's a cleaner fuel. In certain ways, it's more abundant when you're dealing with, whether you're dealing with compressed natural gas.
So as you say, cleaner. So from an environmental perspective,
and emission standard. Absolutely. Now, with all that said, in a very interesting conversation that I had with somebody at UPS, it's great to have natural gas trucks. But at the end of the day, if you're driving behind a UPS truck on a hill, you want to make sure that they have diesel in that truck because it can handle that type of horsepower. So your traditional gases and diesels and distillates aren't going anywhere, but it's very good to have the renewable fuels. And the beauty of the renewable fuel industry is that it's also going to bring a number of jobs that traditionally weren't there.
Yeah, when I think about this jobs and I think about the trends that are going on, some of the trends, talk about some of the trends that, because again, energy is hot. Mm-hmm. We had the secretary, not the secretary of energy, but the Dot Harris, who handles the small businesses for the energy. Mm-hmm. We've had her come and speak. We've had her several times. She's talked about the opportunities. Mm-hmm. She's met with us. And that is a big focus area for this administration, that whole energy and getting more small and minority businesses into this space.
Absolutely.
And she is working hard. And she's one of our own. She's here from Georgia. Mm-hmm. So every chance she gets, she can come back. She tries to come back and talk to us and talk about what's needed and how it's needed to be successful in this space. But what are some of the trends that are coming around this whole energy and fuel, and what's some of the trends there?
And there
may not be. It seems like right. It's, everyone's focused on it.
I think we were talking off air in regards to the Keystone Pipeline. You know, you have the Keystone Pipeline that's running from Canada all the way down to the Gulf. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's been there's been pushback from this administration on the environmental part of it. And I think once they figure out the environmental part, this could be a very great opportunity, because whenever you're dealing with pipelines, not only are you dealing with potential jobs working directly with the pipeline, but you have other jobs and opportunities off of the pipeline. Great example is that you'll have new trucking companies being able to hire more drivers to make a very good wage because of the pipeline. Talking about restaurants that are going to be set up by the pipeline, because you're going to have new employees working by the pipeline wherever it's going down. So the trickle down part of this Keystone Pipeline is huge, not only just for minority businesses, but just for individuals in general to receive excellent wages because of the production of the pipeline.
Now, the production of the pipeline is going to impact pricing somewhere along the way, is what I...
It is.
Okay.
It is. What's going to, you know, what's... The great thing that's going on here in the U.S. right now is that we have more or less have become the new Saudi Arabia. We have so much access to crude product here. To where it's even becoming a situation right now that the Congress is trying to block exports leaving the country. We're actually moving more export than we are even keeping it. That's how much product that we have here in the States now.
Is that why the pricing's low right now, is because of that capacity and that? Is that all that tied together or not?
It's tied together to a certain instance. It'd be great if we could actually predict where prices were going. But
I'm going to be looking for you for that. I just want you to know. You seem impressive, so I'm going to be looking for you to do that for us.
I'll do my best. You know, but you're getting, you know, other areas of the country that are becoming hotbeds, like North Dakota right now is becoming a huge hotbed for refiners finding more product. And just to give you kind of an example of what I'm talking about in North Dakota, maybe about 7 to 10 years ago, you're talking about a motel would rent out a room for, who knows, $20 to $30 a night. Now you're having motels renting out rooms for $200 a night because you have the refineries moving their employees there.
Ah.
And now it's becoming a huge demand just for rooms. So, and that's because of the energy industry.
Okay. And so in these areas, mm-hmm. they're bringing people that are, we're boosting the economy, though, in those areas, which
Absolutely.
Is a good thing.
Absolutely. You're going to see the same thing coming out of Ohio. You have a lot of fracking opportunities going on in Ohio and other states that are going to boost the economy. But it's really going to improve job situations and company situations for everyone involved.
Excellent. Excellent. So tell me. What's the next chapter for you guys at Southern Petroleum Reserve? What does the future look like in this space?
Well, I think the future looks great for us. As we grow, we look to bring on new customers. We look to get in more into the government sectors, whether it's local, state, or federal. You know, we may be even looking to acquire in the near future. You know, as our industry grows and flourishes, we look to grow and flourish with it. So any opportunities that do come out there, we plan on taking advantage of it, whether it's in the auto industry, whether it's in the opportunities in the fracking industry.
When you talk about fracking, take a minute and talk to our listeners. What is fracking?
Well, basically, it's a form of drilling to where not only are they drilling down, but they're also drilling sideways as well. And it's a more sophisticated way of actually finding product that they weren't traditionally able to get to. And there has been some environmental concerns about fracking as well. Whenever you're dealing in politics, that's always going to be a issue that's always going to come up. But if those environmental issues could be answered immediately and resolved immediately, you're looking at more product, possibly less expensive product for our, for the consumer. And back to what you said earlier, more potential jobs for the consumer as well.
And so when I'm thinking about this consumption, you say if this whole fracking is another, sounds like a more efficient way of doing it. There's environmental impacts, but it's more efficient.
It's more efficient just in regards to actually getting to unrefined crude prior to the actual fracking industry, because there's certain areas where you couldn't get to because of just the location.
Got it. And so fracking helps you do that.
It does.
And so using the fracking process gives us more capacity, because now we've got more. Mm-hmm. And so with that capacity, as you're saying, we're based on our capacity today, we're exporting. You talked about that whole exporting piece.
Sure.
So this fracking will give us more capacity actually for exporting, the whole Saudi Arabia kind of.
But you have a number of folks up on Capitol Hill that want to stop the exporting of our own product. One of the quotes that I heard from one particular congressman is basically, he who rules energy rules the world.
Oh, my.
You know, and to a certain extent, he's absolutely right. The more energy that we keep at home, the more product that we keep at home, the more innovations and energy that we keep at home, the more of a world power.
Does that give us a competitive edge by any?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So keeping the physical, when I think of keeping the physical product, I think you can only consume so much. The rest of it you sell off and you make a profit. Otherwise, you're storing the rest of it.
Absolutely.
And so that's what they're talking about. Just keeping it at home and keeping it in the backyard and.
Yeah, well, they could keep it in my backyard.
Yeah, that would be so great. So to speak.
And obviously, you know, there's obviously more things that will go into that type of bill of.
For sure.
Of stopping exports, but at the end of the day, again, the more product, the more energy, the more resources that we have here in the U.S., I think helps our country more than anything.
You talked a little bit about government and the state, local. Talk to me a little bit more about government in terms of, is it just a pure fuel opportunity there, or what's the opportunity?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just like any commercial customer, you know, you have local, state, municipalities that have vehicles, whether it's city vehicles, whether it's school buses, even on the federal side, you know, even if it's the Department of Defense, they all have fuel needs. And you know, companies like ours try to fulfill them.
Oh, absolutely. And then recently, I know you've read in the press about there's a merger of sorts going on here with Georgia Power and with AGL Resource. Tell me, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's a consolidation, but, I've had the opportunity to actually bid on Southern Company's fuel contracts. The interesting situation is that I think this helps them, because not only were we bidding on Georgia Power's business, but we were also bidding on Savannah Power. Mm-hmm. We were bidding on Alabama Power, Gulf Power, Mississippi Power. And what happens is that when you have more of a volume play, you know, now you have companies like ours that are willing to offer our product at a cheaper price because we like the volume. So in regards to them consolidating a lot of their power companies, I think it works out for them price-wise in the long run.
So, yeah, excellent. Great strategy then. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, again, we're talking about the future and companies that are in this energy fuel space. Mm-hmm. What kind of companies would complement from a complete having the whole vertical? If you were looking to acquire companies, what kind of companies would be a good match for that?
Well, for us, we would probably be looking at other fuel wholesalers like ours. I tell you what's a niche that is really needed in our industry is more truck drivers.
Interesting.
One of the things that I run into with a lot of our carriers, and my dispatch, John Scales, who's here, he'll be the first one to tell you, is that one of the issues that our carriers have is they can't find enough truck drivers. And it's coming to the point where they're actually, not only are they paying for training, but they're actually.
There's bonuses and all that involved?
Bonuses. Well, I can tell you, I actually know some carriers out in the Midwest that are actually looking to pay six figures for just for truck drivers.
Why is there such a shortage of, is there a special skill with driving a truck that has oil or gas in it?
More of the risk falls onto the company in regards to insurance, but I really couldn't tell you why there's such a shortage of truck drivers. You have your long haul truck drivers that go from one state to another or cross country, but you have a lot of these other trucking companies that the trucks leave out in the day and they come back at night, and they're having issues on retaining truck drivers. So that's a niche if you can keep drivers in your seats.
Wow. And see, Georgia is a hub for transportation and logistics. So now, you know, I'm just surprised that here that there'd be such a challenge in finding drivers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a challenge here, and it's a challenge everywhere. And it's probably more of a challenge here only because, like you said, this is a hub.
This is a hub.
This is honestly the Doraville terminal is the hub more or less for the Southeast. You have a lot of major trucking companies that move their trucks out of Doraville into other states. So what that basically means is that you have a number of carriers who have to deliver fuel, and it gets to a point sometimes where there's only 24 hours in a day. They can only drive a certain amount of hours a day. And what happens is that they run out of
time.
They run out of time and they run out of drivers.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got several business owners that are part of GMSDC that are in the trucking and logistics field. Seems like we might want to try to pick, you know, seems like an opportunity to me.
And they know exactly what I'm talking about because they go through it on a daily basis.
Huh. So you've got this product and you can't move it because you can't get drivers.
Well, we have to be, you know, just like any wholesaler, we have to be smart and innovative on how we get our orders into our carriers to make sure that our loads are the first ones that go out.
I like it. That's an advantage of doing business with you.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so we're wrapping up. We're going to be wrapping up here, David. And I just want to take a minute. And what would you like our listeners to know about you, your company, this industry as we're wrapping up here today? You know, because we're going to send this out to the far corners of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone's going to be talking about Southern Petroleum Resources. You know that company? They were on Let's Talk Small Business. They're hot. So what would you like them to be talking about?
Well, you know, I've basically stated what our company does. But in regards to our philosophy is no matter what you do, whether you're a fuel wholesaler or if you bake cookies, you have to be fearless in what you do. You have to be passionate and you have to be fearless. You know, and people always talk about, you know, the big companies in their industry. Well, they weren't always big.
That's right. They started someplace.
They started somewhere and they were fearless. And whether you have to find mentors within your industry that's fearless, and you kind of have to emulate what they do. I'll be the first one to always say that I felt as though that Steve Hightower is one of the most fearless guys out there.
He is a great guy.
And I've known Steve for a very long time, and I've looked up to him, and he is a mentor, not in regards to what he says, but what he does. You know, if you want to have a successful business, whether you're a minority supplier or not, you have to be passionate and you have to be fearless and you have to love what you do. You know, I love what I do. You know, I love this industry. And I hope that the folks who work for me love this industry just as much as I do. And what we do, like I said, is what we do. But in regards to how we go about
doing it. How you do it that sets you apart.
Exactly.
Great. I like that, being fearless and passionate. I like that, fearless. Excellent. I want to thank you for being a part of the show. We're going to be seeing you out at GMSDC events.
Yep.
Absolutely, positively.
And I'll be in San Diego.
All right. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. In fact, this show will air while we're there.
Oh, great.
It will air while we're there. And so I want to thank our listeners for this edition of Let's Talk Small Business. You tune in every Tuesday at 11:30 for the show that brings you all the relevant tidbits and information that help our small businesses grow. I want to thank our sponsors, the Coca-Cola Company, the Cox Enterprises family of companies, and Georgia Power, a Southern company. Until next time, take care. This edition of Let's Talk Small Business.